Good evening and welcome to the Yellow Dogs. So nice to be able to sit with you on Monday evenings. Starts the week out in the right way. We've been looking at some energies that the teachings have said get to know, because they're going to show up and they can have a negative influence or impact on what we're trying to do. But the first two, desire and aversion, we're going to look at those closer. Those probably have the most influence on our, I don't know that, on our meditation. But restlessness can come with worry. If you have a worried mind, then restlessness comes from a worried mind. And sleepiness, I mean, why are we not sleepy? The only time we ever get quiet and still in our whole entire life was when we lay down to go to sleep, you know. So the stillness is something that the mind and the body has to get used to. And nothing's wrong with it, but again, it takes practice in order to understand that sleepiness will come and it will go. And then doubt is because this process, I mean, I don't know why doubt, but usually because we have no idea the impact that it's having on ourselves sometimes and really on the whole wide world, whether we know it or not. So they're important to study, and the desire and aversion are the two biggies, and it's not a trivial thing we have said about doing, because, you know, we're looking at something, the most difficult task I can think of is looking at the mind and trying to come to understand one's own mind. My gosh, the mind. So Joseph Goldstein says, there have been many beings who have conquered these 1,000 energies that we've been talking about 1,000 times, and they have given us advice and guidance. So we're going to take advice and guidance from some beings that know about these energies. So, first big step, of course, is recognizing, bringing them to our consciousness and to the possibilities, even though they probably have already shown up, but to put more understanding behind what they're all about. So we're going to focus on wanting, not wanting, pushing away. And if we don't recognize them, they can be powerful forces, as you well know. Forces in the mind that traps us into spirals of mind states that drive us all crazy. So when we begin to recognize them, the light of recognition, they become much easier to deal with, and we don't take them so personally. And we get to see them in their true nature. They're not so, you know, we don't take them personally. They're not so mysterious
And so are these also known as the hindrances?
Yeah, these are the hindrances. Yeah. Did I not say the hindrances? I said energies. They're called hindrances, energies. What else?
Just traditionally.
Traditional, yeah. They're just, the five hindrances. Desire, aversion, sleepiness, restlessness, and doubt. So those are the five. And the first two, desire and aversion, are the two that we're going to kind of zero in tonight. And of course, we always have our wonderful tool of RAIN, now that they've been brought to our attention in a Dharma lesson, then we can begin to recognize them when they come up and allow them and to investigate them. And the best way to investigate is the felt sense in the body. And so with that kind of practice, we begin to feel quite comfortable to what to do and how to relate to these energies. So what do they feel like in the body? Well, that's more or less what we're trying to do with all the phenomena that's going on within us, because there's quite a bit going on constantly. And so what does wanting, what does it feel like in the body, grasping? And it could be, it's anything. You know, it doesn't have to be not getting our, you know, desire of grasping at what we want to keep going that has already really run its course. So it seems to just keep the mind looking outward when we're just caught in wanting, grasping, and just searching for that object in the sky that's going to do it for all of us. But it agitates us, and it also it's imbalancing. It unbalances us. So they do have that kind of impact. And so in the very nature, and the Buddha talks about this a lot, and sense desires, that's so important to understand, is we're never satisfied. Have you noticed that? We are never satisfied for any length of time. So there's no end to seeking. But we can stop that trap of wallowing in the wanting when we understand its true nature. And we see quite clearly and quickly they arise up and it goes away, as all phenomena does. And here we are again, unsatiated desire for more gratification. And boy, do we live in a place where that's rampant. That is advertised for us all the time of what we should want and what we don't have. So it's grasping in the mind, a mind state that can just take over. And we'll always feel unfulfilled if we don't understand that it's not our nature to be satisfied through the process that we're using. We can't be satisfied for any length of time. It's just not part of it. And so we find ourselves caught up in that grasping within our body, and it doesn't feel good. And that is important to know that, because for me, when I feel it, then it kind of gives, it takes it away from my mind where I have to build stories about it. And it we see how the effects it has on our bodies and our minds. So desires can be just always wanting beautiful sights or beautiful sounds or taste or smells or pleasant sensations in the body or fascinating ideas. And that's okay, but it's the attachment, it's the lack of equanimity when we get caught in these whirlwinds. Desire, I want more now. And we know that about ourselves because we're all conditioned in that way. And so we can deal successfully with this phenomenon of strong desires. Again, as we get to know them personally and intimately in our meditation. And so desire, something to study. Something to study within the grasping, the holding on to something, not wanting it to go. But then, in the next breath, there's the hindrance of not wanting. So here we are, wanting, not wanting, wanting, not wanting. Do you wonder how often that happens during the day? Well, a lot. And so wanting and not wanting, of course, takes us to the mind. And when it takes us to the mind, it takes us out of the present moment where we live our lives fully. So it's important. And so the second hindrance is pushing away. But it's more than that. It's a hatred or anger or ill will or annoyance or an irritation. And we have all of that. We know it. It's in all of us. Nothing's wrong with them. But we begin to see they're all about the condemning mind. And we want to know about the condemning mind because it takes us to suffering. And so the mind strikes against the object, whatever it is, and wants to get rid of it, go away. But it's a very turbulent and violent place to be, state. It can grow and get bigger and have more impact. So it's the mind in these states is literally burning like a great deal of suffering. You feel that in the body. But it's also helpful to understand that fear is also another form of aversion. I mean, how much money do we spend a year on security systems and guards? I mean, the first thing we did when we moved to the hill country from the city, big city of Arlington, Texas, was in this little 1,500 square foot house, we got a system, a secure system. It has caused us much grief. And when we have studied the crime statistics around us, we don't need a security system, okay? And the reason it's caused us pain was we were in Florida having a good time and the police were at our house. So how many times does that happen? But it's the first thing that we got is the first, and you know, it's not cheap. So we get caught and lost and lose ourselves in these strong mind states. And when do we really take the time to look at them except in our meditation practice? And so the fearful mind itself, I don't have to tell you, you know what it creates for you in any given moment. And when we start working with the fearful mind, we become afraid. And that's okay, because again, that's an acknowledging we're not pushing anything away that is happening within our mind and body. We're actually asking for it all to come clear to us. And at some point, our eyes and hearts begin to open to the fearful mind. But naming these energies, these hindrances, fear, immediately it takes it away from, seems to take it away from identification. It's fear. It's a phenomena. And so in working with it in that way, with time, then it just doesn't sweep us away like it did before we become more wise about it. And it's just energy moving through us, and it has its own lifespan. And just being with it and letting it run its lifespan is the most compassionate thing we can do for ourselves. And then what fear or grasping or not wanting or wanting becomes, it becomes the phenomena that it is. We are not as attached to it. We are not identified with it. It is part of being a human being. So it frees us. This is just the type of freedom, one of the freedoms that we talk about, freedom from these mind states that drive us crazy. So the antidotes, there are antidotes, and there's more than one, but I'm just going to do one for each one. And in desire, grasping, one of the things that you can reflect on is everything's impermanence. Well, hello. We have another meditator that just walked in. What's her name?
I don't know
because we lost our other cat. It's a cat that just walked in. I'm sorry, I got distracted. So the antidote to desire is just remembering something that helps stabilize us. Oh yeah, everything's fleeting. Everything's is impermanent. It's not going to stay forever. And flop flop. What a relief it is when we get to that stage, because you feel the whole relief. And then aversion is practicing loving kindness or a metta for oneself and for others. Or one of the things Randy and I do daily is we chant the four immeasurables. And we'll do that tonight when we practice metta, loving kindness. So it's understanding that we are the loving kindness and how to bring that home and how to remember that and to live through it. So there's a simile given to illustrate the effect of these different obstructions of the mind. And of course, the definition of Vipassana is to see clearly. So how these energies are causing the suffering of being caught in them. And so imagine a pond of clear water. So sense desire is like the water becomes colored with pretty dyes. And we get carried away. And then anger and ill will and aversion is like boiling water. Water that is boiling is very turbulent, we know. It's hard to be with. Sleepiness is like the pond of water covered with algae, very dense, where we're not seeing clearly. And then restlessness and worry are like a pond when windswept. The surface of the water is agitated by strong winds. And then there is doubt. It's like the water being muddied. We can't see clearly. We can't see the truth. We can't see what one needs to see to go in the direction of freeing ourselves from all the ways we create our own suffering. So that's what we're doing. We're looking at the mind and the body, studying it quite intimately to do just that. But it's a practice. And as we all know, any practice takes time, energy, and effort, and sometimes it's hard to get started. And then we can begin again. So it's just keeping on, it is important. And learning as much as we can about the phenomena that we're all living in and with, and sharing those experiences as if that is a very important part of being a human being, because we're perfectly imperfect, but we don't go around projecting that. We're projecting that we are not suffering to the degree we are suffering, and then that keeps us separate. So, just more teachings for the heart. More teachings for the mind and body that will bring us more happiness and more relief from the self-inflicted wounds that we give ourselves. Okay, thank you for being good listeners. Randy will come up.